Tribe going to host Baltimore for three. Baltimore and the Indians tonight here on WTAM 1100. Also downtown tonight, Browns and the Buffalo Bills. Craig Brenda's in for Mike Snyder. He's got your sports, his take on it, coming up in three. Also tonight, Blossom, it's Rascal Flatts.
Way on down to southern Alabama with the guitars jamming, that's where we're headed. Straight up to Butte and Montana singing, Lord, I was born a rambling man.
Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save In. We've been helping with your skin and your look the last couple days. Let's go right to the smile, because you know what? Matt, that's the first thing we noticed. Are you smiling?
Exactly. Smiling for back to school, smiling for getting reacquainted at work. As I said yesterday when we were targeting your face, maybe you've got job interviews, things going on. I don't bring a lot to the table, Bill. I've got medium self-esteem, zero muscle, and very weak emotional reliance.
But you're always prepared.
I'm prepared. And the one compliment I ever get, teeth, comes down to one thing. I drink a ton of bubble tea, a ton of iced tea. If you're listening right now and you drink red wine or coffee, as 120% of the people listening right now do, the top teeth whitening system in the entire country. This is the one you have seen everywhere. This is the one that everyone uses. This is the one that doctors have recommended. This is the one that I also can't say on air or I will get sued, because it is at a price that people do not want advertised. You're getting a $150 a pop teeth whitening kit for $39.
Wow.
And 99 cents today.
Wow. Check out the video. One. You got to see. Yeah, the same. Yeah. Now that I see it on the video, what a savings this thing is. That's fantastic.
This is the one. This is the name. You'll know exactly what it is when you head online. Again, safe. And more importantly, these are the ones that the dentists use themselves. We had dentists weigh in for this piece and other folks who have tested it and love it. I use this a couple times a week. WTAM.com. Keywords. Ways to save.
Especially with the kids heading back to school routine. Good time to get them in a good routine when it comes to their oral health care. And Matt's got the deal up there for you. The Deal Boss, watch him on 3 this morning. We'll be back on Monday with more savings, same times. Matt, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Awesome.
It's Sports Mornings, 15 and 45 past. You know, Snyder's starting the weekend early, so we had to go to the bullpen. Sports, Greg Brenda. Hi, pal.
I'm the cagey right-hander. Is that right?
Yeah.
Good morning, Bill. Tribe Orioles tonight at Progressive Field. On the hill for the Indians, Carlos Carrasco. 14-6, great ERA, 3.50. He'll be faced by David Hess, who's 2-6. His earned run average, 6.25. The Tribe coming off that big sweep of the Reds and winning the Ohio Cup or whatever cup they were winning. Terry Francona, very happy about that. Indians going for 6 straight wins. Tale of two teams going in the opposite directions. The Indians have won 10 of their last 12. The Orioles have lost 10 of their last 12. And how about Melky Cabrera? Since being released, re-signed, and then recalled, how about this? He's batting .311 with 3 home runs and 9 RBIs. Browns, Bills tonight. That's right, down at First Energy Field. It'll be Corey Coleman and Tyrod Taylor facing his old teammates. So there's a lot of storylines here. Maybe not as much as Baker Mayfield and perhaps a little more of Drew Stanton tonight. Yesterday, the Browns entertained free agent Dez Bryant. No word if a deal is in the offing. We shall see. Not a big fan of Dez Bryant, but the Browns may be a bigger fan than yours truly. How about Brant Snedeker? He bogeyed one, and then he only took 58 more shots, shooting a 59 at the Wyndham Championship in Greensboro, North Carolina. Remember, they used to be the Greater Greensboro Open. Snedeker is the first to shoot a 59 since Adam Hadwin did it last year at the Career Builders Challenge. 4-shot lead over Ryan Moore and John Oda. I have no idea who John Oda is. And a report that Urban Meyer could be reinstated as early as today. But that was a prediction from the lawyer of former assistant coach Zach Smith. All right, home of the Indians and the Cavaliers. Greg Brenda in for Mike Snyder. News Radio WTAM 1100. And now a Browns training camp report brought to you by your fantasy football destination, Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, and sports. Browns Bills tonight, as we said at First Energy. Offensive coordinator Todd Haley said people are making progress. Baker Mayfield making progress. And how about Joel Bitonio making progress?
I think he's doing a good job. I think every minute that he and 63 are working together is very important to us, and he's making progress, and Corbett's making progress. So
we'll see what happens there. And again, like I said, a little more of Drew Stanton tonight and maybe a little less of Baker Mayfield. With your Browns update, I'm Greg Brenda.
Hey, a couple news stories of the morning. We start with the Zimfer file. Bill Zimfer joins us on a Friday morning. Manafort trial jury got it. We know anything yet?
Well, we know that they've asked some questions of the judge. They spent the entire day deliberating yesterday, Bill. Until late in the day, they came out with a note for the judge. It included four questions. The judge then called the jury back in to address those. A number one question, which is not unusual in trials, really. They wanted a definition of reasonable doubt. And the judge said the prosecutors had to prove, as he put it, not beyond possible doubt, but beyond doubt based on reason. Okay, so the answer to that still up for interpretation by the jurors. They also asked some questions on the definition of a shelf company, also foreign banking disclosures. The judge on the remaining questions instructed them to just rely on their collective recollection. So they've got to go back in to deliberations this morning at 9:30. The six men and six women will go at it again for another day. The big thing here, Bill, is not surprising. There was no verdict after one day, although it was possible there could have been. There are nearly 400 documents that they have to look at here. In fact, they requested a bigger room so they would have an area to spread out some of these documents and catalog them. They have to go through 18 counts against Paul Manafort. So I think today is the critical day. Now that they have the answers to these basic questions, they can get down to real work today. My guess is that they have really set the stage for the nitty-gritty of the deliberations today. Most people believe it'll be done by the end of the day.
Yeah, and it's Friday. I mean, any jury knows the day of the week, too. And you talk about a paper trail, though. My goodness, the dots that they need to connect, at least for the government, to prove the case, right?
Yeah. Hey, almost 400 documents involved here, emails and other banking documents that they can connect together and try to figure out what's going on. And just as a side note, Bill, it also came out yesterday in a court filing that the Mueller investigative team has nearly 1,000 documents they'll be preparing for the next trial against Paul Manafort, that coming up next month.
The Zimfer file. Bill, thanks. Have a good weekend.
You do the same, Bill. Thanks.
Hear the noise, and some notes around Trump. Omarosa, by the way, has released yet another secret recording, this one featuring President Trump's daughter-in-law allegedly offering to pay her to keep quiet. In the clip, Laura Trump, Eric's wife, top official in the Trump re-election campaign, offered her $15,000 a month in exchange for her to just stay quiet about your time in the White House. Fascinating spot the GOP put out on Twitter I saw yesterday of Omarosa speaking on behalf of Trump over the years. And Trump retweeted it with the headline, I guess she forgot about these tapes. Kind of funny. Trump's planned military parade for Washington, D.C., a little more expensive than most thought. And they're going to put it off at least a year. There was one estimate, could be some $92 million. And, oh, by the way, the U.S. Senate is pushing back against President Trump's attacks on the news media. Yesterday, the Senate unanimously adopted a resolution declaring, quote, the press is not the enemy of the people. Trump has used the term repeatedly, so the United States Senate at least is on record. And there's one poll out from CNN. Midterms, of course, coming up. Democrats now lead Republicans 52-41% in a nationwide generic congressional ballot. For what it's worth, Trump's approval number, according to Rasmussen, though, still around 50%. A lot to digest, but you know he'll be able to do it. Rush Limbaugh follows the news at noon today on News Radio WTAM 1100. Feeling better. Lost his voice a couple days, but he was back in the chair behind the golden EIB mic yesterday.
Well, let's make it clear. When they say you have clearance, it doesn't mean you have access to classified information. It just means that if, for instance, they want to call you in as a former official and ask your advice, or you're serving on a commission, that you don't have to get clearance. You've already got it. But it doesn't mean that you're getting any kind of private briefings. John Brennan had it. I actually think that it's kind of unprecedented in two ways. First of all, I think John Brennan probably went too far. I've never heard of a top security official being as political, as openly and vitriolically critical of a president as John Brennan has been. He's accused Trump of treason, of being a dictator, of being unfit for office. Having said that, I can't think of another case of a president taking away somebody's security clearance. To give another example, Michael Flynn, the general former head of Defense Intelligence, who was a top Trump advisor before he was fired, was going around the country in 2016 during the campaign hammering Obama, hammering Hillary Clinton, leading chants of lock her up at the Republican convention in Cleveland. They never took away his security clearance. So it's unprecedented on both sides, and we're seeing a lot of that in this presidency.
There we are. Good take. Let me jump to politics for a minute. As you think about Trump campaigning for these midterms, I'm guessing, I mean, Ohio is a state. We got the 12th district. You know that you know Democrats think they could take that back. You've got some close races around. I presume, as usual, they'll send him where he can raise the most money and maybe put him over the finish line.
Yeah, well, yes, they'll be selective. There's some places that people are going to want him, not only to raise money, but also to galvanize the base. And there'll be places where he'll be on the back of a milk carton because they want it. Republicans won't want him anywhere around because they think, you know, for instance, a suburban district outside Philadelphia, where there are a lot of suburban women, they wouldn't want Donald Trump around because they think he would be more negative than positive.
Chris Wallace, Fox News Sunday. More news plays out Sunday morning. You can watch it on Fox 8 here in Cleveland, of course. Chris, thanks much, pal.
Thank you.
Bowles and Snyder, getting today's news cycle started on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Actually, Snyder-less, starting the weekend early. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, joins us. Best team coverage of the Browns. We went to the bullpen, Terry. I found Greg Brenda. You know him?
Yes, I do.
He's in Snyder's chair this morning alongside.
Oh, I wonder if anybody could sit there for long.
Keeping it warm.
You never know.
Keeping it warm.
Never know.
Keeping it warm. Guys, let's start with the Browns. Follow Terry on Twitter at Terry Pluto and at your column, some scribbles. You reminded us, hey, last year, fans, we were 4-0, but this was the historic game. How did we forget about Brock Osweiler?
Yes, this was the end of Brock Osweiler. It was game two of the preseason and the full force of Hugh Jackson falling in love with DeShone Kizer also came at the same time. Thank goodness we're not having those discussions, at least, because, you know, that led to the great quarterback room of Kizer, Kessler, and Hogan, that law firm that didn't last real long in Cleveland.
Terry, it's like the first time in a very long time you can look at the Browns roster and assume that you got at least a couple of competent quarterbacks running the show. We haven't been able to say that in, like, forever.
I think that's pretty much true. You know, maybe you go back when they had Holcomb and Couch, at least, you know, guys you could put into a game. I mean, it goes way back. And I think also we have to see something here where the Browns start to win right away. And, you know, when I've been out at camp, I've sensed that. That's also been one of the underlying things, and whether there have been all this other junk and hard knocks, but you could hear it almost the desperation in the coach's voices. You know, get off to a good start. And it's like, we've got to win some games. You could just hear that underlying everything, and I'm glad to hear it.
Terry, do you think Dez Bryant really wants to play here, or does he just want to play anywhere?
I don't know what Dez Bryant wants to do. I don't want him to play here. I really don't. Do you know, one guess, who had the NFL in drop passes last year?
Let me guess. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
12.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he caught like 65 balls or whatever. I mean, by comparison, you know, Jarvis Landry had like 115 catches and he had 7 drops. And I know Landry has said he'd love to have Dez and all that. And, you know, you players always say stuff like that publicly, but I'd be curious to know what he really thinks, because that receivers, as they say, the room or whatever, that should belong to Jarvis Landry. You know, he is the leader there. And the only way I would want Dez Bryant would be the Dez Bryant of 2015 and 14, who is a really, really good player, because he's going to act like that guy. And if he's not, he's dropping a lot of balls or whatever, you're going to see, I just think, of a lot of conflict they don't need. Also, by the way, there's been, like, no rush with anything. He acts like the season's, like, 5 months away.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah, no rush. Hey, Terry, who's got more of an axe to grind, Tyrod Taylor or Corey Coleman?
Oh, Tyrod Taylor. Hey, he actually did something with his team.
Yeah.
Good point.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
He did. I mean, Corey Coleman, you look at that, it's like, I will say this, he's the only guy I know in Browns history broke hands in consecutive seasons.
Well, that's a record. Let me get you out of here on the Tribe. Big weekend as we go back and re-honor Jim Tomei, of course, with the Hall of Fame and all, Slider's birthday Sunday. And, oh, by the way, guys, as Terry
So you're going to leave out my colleague Sheldon Oker making the Baseball Hall of Fame, the media wing, but it's Slider's birthday.
I was going to get to that, but I had to work in the Ohio Cup, which, of course, we control as well, right?
Bearing Sheldon behind the Ohio Cup, too.
Congrats, Shelly.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to buy him dinner in the media dining room.
That's, yeah, there you go. Always the best.
I'll use Brenda's number. I'm sure it's still there. All right.
It's 11 bucks.
Terry, thanks, partner.
Happy birthday to Slider, and give him the Ohio Cup. How's that?
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter. Thanks, thanks, Terry. 6:58. Fox Sports, Sports Time Ohio, take from the dugout. Your Indians update brought to you by AAA Advanced Plumbing. Bill Wills, Greg Brenda, the Dean alongside, since Snyder starts his weekend early. And, you know, kids in college, I can't afford to travel. So I just follow Andre Knott on social media. He's taking pictures with celebrities in Cincinnati. Eating at Kingfish, I see a steak and lobster. And Andre, I'm just trying to live through you.
Oh, yeah, you're trying to live through me? Come on. The guy you're with is who you're really trying to live through, aren't you?
Well, he is the dean for a reason. Cincinnati, talk to me about that whole experience down there.
You know, we talk about the Battle of Ohio, and I don't know how far we can go, really, at this point in time with playing teams in the National League and trying to make a big deal of it. I just wish Major League Baseball would make it on the weekend.
Right.
Great crowd, though, for the Indians, and just didn't have the same feel as it always has had for interleague play and all these rivalries when you play both in Cleveland and in Cincinnati. The games weren't on the weekend.
Hey guys, I think it's getting a little old. I think, Greg, I don't know about your take, but I think regionally you look around the country, you pick one or two, and I think that's about it anymore.
You know, a while back, Bill, I was really into interleague play, but now I think it's run its course, and I agree with you. I just think, you know, regionalize it, Reds, Pirates, and that's it. But I don't think baseball is going to do it. Do you, Andre?
No, I don't. Greg, but you make the point, Greg, that I think a lot of people that do the traveling and that are around the teams, Pittsburgh, to a lot of us, would work better because it's closer and the Steelers rivalry. But, yeah, it's run its course. It really has at some point in time, especially with the rules. It's not fair for an American League team to go to a National League park and not play with a pitcher for 3 days. The roster just isn't made up that way. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's kind of crazy. Hey, Andre, every time you turn around, somebody else is getting hurt. I'm, you know, calm me down, but I'm a little worried about Trevor Bauer getting ready for the postseason.
You know what, Greg? I tend to agree with you. I think the team feels that, you know, because Trevor can continue throwing over the next, whether it be 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever, he can continue keeping his arm warm. But it's going to be touch and go until they find out how long he's going to be out. And they're not going to know until that bone heals. I continue to hear people say, well, you know, we can speed this up or we can speed that up. I think we all know, and I hate to say this, when I heard Teeny break in his leg, I went back to my Butch Davis days, and I got the last time I heard that the guy didn't play the rest of the season. Now, Chris Antonetti did kind of say to me that it's going to come down to a little bit of pain threshold. And I think we all know Trevor's going to be able to deal with that. But for as good as he was pitching and where he was at, it is a little I'll be honest, it is a little deflating because you just don't know. And you know, and I don't want to be one of those, you know, woe is us. But that's one of those moments where you go, this isn't supposed to happen this year, especially this year, the way Trevor has gone about pitching and gone about being a pitcher this year for that team.
Andre, I love what Melky Cabrera is doing, Greg Allen, they all, even Brandon Guyer, when called upon, is putting forth the offense. We've crossed the halfway point of August. If you're a betting man, do the Indians still make another deal for offense before the end of the month?
Greg, it's the million-dollar question. You know, we keep it's easy to say because Greg Allen's got about an 8 or 9 game hit streak going, and Melky seems like he finally has his legs underneath him. They do need another guy, and one of the guys that they probably have tried to get is going to be in the other dugout this weekend. I've heard from different people in the organization they don't want to give up anyone else from the farm system. I know Curtis Granderson went by waivers the other day. Chris Antonetti did say the other day to me, though, that a lot of the guys that they've looked at haven't made it to them when it comes to waivers. I think they are still looking. I think they have to look, because if you have another injury, who knows what's going to happen. This team is very, you know, top-heavy to say the least, whether it comes to pitching or whether it comes to their lineup. And they're going to have to keep looking, because unfortunately what happened with Martin, if you get another injury, you're going to be down there. We're going to be running you out there to see if you can catch fly balls. It's not a good situation right now.
Carlos Carrasco on the mound tonight, 7:10 first pitch. Gambling.com Tribe Insider with Nick Camino at 6. Hey, I am just a word to you now. You get picked on a lot. I'd watch out for Slider Sunday. You never know what happens on birthday days, okay?
His birthday keeps changing.
I know. Well, it's marketing. It's when it's convenient for everybody, you know?
Okay. Right. Okay. So it's not just me. I'm not wrong.
I'm just worried about you Sunday. We got to, and it has to be a home game too. So you know, it's just
and it's getaway day. So I'm gonna have to go somewhere to get away from you on Sunday. Good call.
You heard it here first.
I appreciate it.
All right, be good, pal. Aretha Franklin passed, of course, yesterday. She had 18 Grammy awards, was a Kennedy Center honoree, and when it comes to songs, this was actually the best selling one she had on the Billboard Hot 100 from 1987 with George Michael, peaked at number one. What a sound. And of course, it was Respect. She charted 46 albums. Greg Harris, CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, joins us this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. Morning, Greg.
Good morning, Bill.
You tweeted yesterday, and I think so many great accolades. Lady Soul, the first woman inducted into the Rock Hall. Artist, passion, sophistication, command. Just that word, command. I was talking to somebody earlier. I don't know that I can add to, you know, what everybody else is saying about Aretha, because it's tremendous. But I played those two songs. Greg, I've played a lot of music over the years. A lot of songs are in the background. When Aretha Franklin would come on, you stopped what you were doing.
You're absolutely right. You know, it commanded your attention, and she has this incredible command of her voice, of the rhythm of the song. You played some of her faster stuff, which we all love. You know, you Respect maybe the most inspirational song, but listen to Do Right Woman, and how it, a natural woman, her version of that, the Carole King song.
Sure.
She her voice hits everything, but then she has this pause, and there's dead air for a second, and it grabs you, and then she brings you back. She really was incredible. She was raised, you know, in the church. Her father was a pastor of a very large congregation in Detroit. She was on stage at a very young age in that environment, with creating emotion with music, you know, creating celebration, creating reverence in church. And she took that and applied it to popular music in a way that was just unprecedented. And that's why she is the queen of soul.
Well said. There was the Motown sound, but she went with Atlantic. I mean, she ran her own stuff early on, didn't she?
She did. She was looked at first. They were trying to figure out, is she going to be a pop singer? Is she going to be a crooner? And then she sort of established this sound, and it was the Great Atlantic Records. They went down south. They recorded at Muscle Shoals. They recorded up in New York. And that's the label that also had, you know, Otis Redding. You know, that had Rufus Thomas, just a little bit different than Motown.
Yeah.
Not disparaging either, but just this different take. And she brought it, and she did it for decades. She played for presidents. She performed at Martin Luther King's funeral. That's how revered she was. And then she has hits. She just played hits from the late 80s. You know, that's 30, 40 years later. And just a huge part of our culture. And again, the first female elected to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. In a sea of hundreds and hundreds of inductees. I think we've inducted about 320 so far. She's the first woman in.
Always a special time at the Rock Hall whenever you visit. Greg Harris, CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I would presume you guys have been very busy, really probably response all over the world. People want to talk to somebody at the Rock Hall?
Absolutely. You know, there's the response worldwide from the media and fans, but then the museum itself, you know, we're playing her music all day long in the museum. We did it yesterday. We're going to do it again today. We lowered our Rock and Roll Hall of Fame flag halfway in honor of her. And then we put some special things on exhibit so people could see and remember and connect with her directly. And she's featured very prominently in our brand new theater in our new Hall of Fame. And that's kind of become the go-to spot, that Hall of Fame plaque. That's the spot where she'll be remembered forever, along with this great music that we all get to enjoy and celebrate forever. But that's the spot.
Greg Harris, CEO of the Rock Hall. Thanks for your time, pal.
Thank you.
Best team coverage of the Browns. Cleveland's Morning News, Bill Wills. Mike Snyder's got the morning off. The Dean, Greg Brenda's in with sports. Fred Greetham follows the Browns for us 24/7 and online at WTAM.com. Follow him on Twitter at Fred Greetham. Hi, Fred.
Hey, good morning, Greg and Bill.
All right, guys, preseason game number two tonight against the Bills at First Energy Stadium. Greg's best advice so far, you find a place to park, take it, with the Indians and the Browns downtown. Fred, you posted an interesting piece, the Browns and Todd Haley, a tall order when it comes to the offense, making them respectable, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, this team was dead last in the NFL in the area that counts the most, and that's points. They scored just a little over 14 points a game last year, and, you know, I don't know if you can win a high school game scoring 14 points a game. And so he's trying to bring mental toughness as well as discipline to the offense, and obviously you have to have talent, and he doesn't have Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, or Le'Veon Bell, but they do have some talent, and so I like what I see so far. I like what I've seen in practice. I like last week he adapted a little bit and tried the no huddle, and so I'm interesting to see another step tonight, see if they can look even as good or better than last week.
Fred, it seems that the Browns really need to work on the running game. Do you think that's going to be a priority tonight?
I do. I think a lot of the problem was the second team, even with the offensive line, or even the first team, because you had two or three parts missing. You had, obviously, Batonio's only played 8 plays now at left tackle, and Corbett was playing his first game. They sat Kevin Zeitler out. And Chris Hubbard was in his first game, and J.C. Treader, you know, played a few plays. So I think they're going to go a little longer with that group. Zeitler's still out, and I think he's a big piece, obviously. But the second team was kind of because you had backups on the first line, so you had third and fourth team guys with the second team, and there was absolutely nowhere to go. I mean, when you're getting tackled 2-3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, I think that's more on the line. But the coaches did say Nick Chubb was a little tentative. He needs to grow a little bit. And of course, Carlos Hyde had 1 carry and Duke Johnson had 1 carry. So they're not showing much. But I do look to see a little more of the running game tonight.
Fred, when you look at Tyrod Taylor, I don't want to say a lot of people, but there's a certain amount of fans who don't want to see Tyrod in the starting role and want to see Baker. I got no problem with Tyrod Taylor. In fact, I think it's a really good move by the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the most, you know, when I didn't follow it that close, he's in Buffalo, and you look what he did. They hadn't been in the playoffs in 17 years, and you know, almost like Brian Hoyer getting pulled when the team was 7-4. You know, they benched him. They made the playoffs after he went back in. He has a winning record in the NFL. And the Bills had been really – they didn't have a lot of weapons on that offense. And the Browns have had no quarterback play in forever. And what's wrong if you have even 2 that can play adequately or above average? You know, why are you so in a hurry to get rid of one? So – I agree with the Taylor. You know, let him. He's in a 1 year. He has the demeanor. He really, you know, looks the part. He takes control in a quiet way. And so far, he has a lot more chemistry going with some of these veterans. And let's see what he can do.
You know, in fairness to him, it's almost like Taylor's his middle name, and we want to see Baker as his last name. I mean, and Greg, that happens with so many quarterback situations when it comes to who we've drafted, who we want to see, and how they develop, right?
You know, guys, the Browns fans have not been united on a quarterback since Bernie Kosar. Yeah. That's almost 30 years. That's a long time for the fan base to be united or not be united.
Great point. Great take. All right. 7:30 tonight, they kick it off. Is that right, Fred?
Yeah, 7:30, and should be interesting. First time for Taylor at home and as well as Baker Mayfield.
Fred Greetham, follow him on Twitter at Fred Greetham. First Energy Stadium tonight, Channel 5. We'll have it for you. Fred, thanks, pal.
All right. right, guys. Have a good
one. And Jensen Lewis at Weymouth one time. I posted a 50 down on the front, even with a bogey. Jensen's in right now talking some tribe with us on a Friday, brought to you by Falls Motor City. Morning, Tips. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
I'm good. Let me get right to this Trevor Bauer. Have you seen, worked, heard of a pitcher with this type of injury in the past, what we're talking about?
Yeah, and honestly, guys, I think we're going to have to be very patient with it, too, because a stress fracture, especially in either leg, and I hope to say this without any tongue-in-cheek, he got hit literally in the right leg to be injured on, because if it's his left land leg, then you really enter a lot of mental problems there thinking about, okay, is my leg sturdy enough? Am I going to have the strength? Am I going to over-rotate? You start to overcompensate mechanically for some things. So I think for him, you're really going to have to be patient. 3 to 4 weeks, I think, is about the right timetable, and you hope that there's enough time for him when we get back into September and he's got maybe 3-4 appearances, hopefully 3 starts in there, where they can really get him back on a roll, because the timing of this injury, it really stinks, but I think for them, knowing that you're going to have at least a little bit on the back end of September to get him right for a possible postseason run, then I think they'll be in good shape.
Jensen, we know Trevor. How do you corral Trevor Bauer from not, you know, overworking or overdoing it or rushing himself back?
Yeah, that's the thing, Greg. And for him, he's going to want to come back guns blazing. You're right about that. He's going to have to really balance that things from the trainers and doing it the right speed and not trying to push too much, but also the competitive edge too. When he does get back out there, don't try and do too much too soon in that first start. Don't try and win the Cy Young in 3 starts when, you know, you probably don't have a chance to do it anymore, knowing you're going to miss probably 4 or 5 at the least. So for him, I really feel bad from a selfish standpoint that he had such a great year and really was right in the running with Chris Sale to be able to win the award. But now, I think as long as he understands the big picture, and more importantly, the team picture, he's a huge part of this team having a chance to get to the World Series. So if he keeps that in the center of his mind every single day during this rehab time, then I think the Indians will be fine.
Jensen Lewis with us. Jensen, Melky Cabrera is doing what I thought we would see Melky Cabrera do when he was here for the first time. If you were a betting man, however, like Camino, would you bet the Indians still find another bat before the end of August?
I think those odds are starting to get a little long, honestly, Greg, in betting terminology. I think it's becoming more of a long shot because I think they're going to try and do in-house what they were originally going to try and do at the trade deadline with Leonis Martin. And that's just some bad luck with Leonis having the health issues that he did, because he really answered a lot of questions for them in center field, let alone at the bottom of the lineup. So, yeah, with Melky's resurgence, I think not only offensively, but he's made some great defensive plays with Guyer in right field. And now you're going to have to think about Lonnie Chisenhall playing literal spring training games in the month of September. Let's hope that they have an idea internally that if they get close to the end of August here and maybe an outfielder is available, they've got the necessary ability to go out and make a deal.
I get you out of here on this. We're talking about Andre, with Andre not earlier too. He'd be a part of your broadcast tonight with Fox Sports from the dugout. The whole interleague thing, has it run its course? What do you think?
I think it's run its course from a scheduling standpoint, Bill. And when they began this, I remember going down to Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati and feeling like it was an Indians home game, because that was during the sellouts. But it was also during the weekend when a lot of people could plan around that series, circle it on the calendar when that schedule came out and say, okay, we're going to make it a destination. We're going to go to Cincinnati for a couple of days. We're going to make our hotel here. We're going to do some things during the day and then come to the ball game. I think if they can do it for the New York teams and the Chicago teams and the LA teams, why can't you do it for the geographical rivalries? Obviously, Cleveland and Cincinnati make a ton of sense. Put them back on the weekends, and I think you'll get a lot more interest in interleague.
3 with Baltimore, then 4 in Boston next week, Jensen.
It's going to be a great series. I know you and Snides have talked about it a lot. It's one you circle on the schedule because of the MVP candidates. It's just going to be great theater. It may not mean much in the future, but I think those 4 nights, you're going to see 2 of the best teams and 4 of the best players in our league go at it.
Fox, you guys on tonight?
We'll be on 6:30, and tomorrow a special 1-hour pregame, as Greg was talking about, Jim Thome weekend. We'll have you covered with the ceremonies and everything. So if you can't make it down to the stadium, Sports Time Ohio, 3:00, special 1-hour pregame tomorrow.
Great job. Thanks, pal.
All right, thank you, guys.
Total Tribe coverage, Jensen Lewis with us on News Radio WTAM 1100.